Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. White House and congressional negotiators are facing a major time crunch in reaching an agreement to raise the nation's debt ceiling. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports June 1st, 1 week from today, is the earliest that the U.S. could run out of money to pay its bills.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says every hour matters in getting a bill across the finish line.
That's why we worked well past midnight last night. The team they have is very professional, very bright. They know where the differences are.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says avoiding default on the nation's debt is not a matter of debate, but the responsibility of Congress.
You've heard all the congressional leaders make it clear that default is not an option. The president has said that, the speaker has said that, and we want the American people to understand that as well.
House Republicans are demanding that any deal must cut federal spending in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
The U.S. Supreme Court is sharply limiting which waterways get federal protections in the country. NPR's Nathan Rott reports a decision could have major repercussions for the country's wetlands.
For decades, politicians, lawyers, and interest groups have argued about the scope of the Clean Water Act, which waterways the landmark law actually protects. A federally protected waterway means more paperwork and roadblocks for an industry or developer looking to build or pollute. On Thursday, the Supreme Court sided with private landowners in Idaho who wanted to develop, building a home near a lake, but were stopped by federal law. As a result, now many wetland areas in the country, places that clean water, provide habitat for wildlife, and help manage floods, will no longer be protected under federal law. The Supreme Court's decision is a major victory for industry and developers across the country. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
Today marks 3 years since George Floyd was killed by a police officer on a Minneapolis street. Minnesota Public Radio's John Collins reports Floyd's murder led to a national reckoning on race and policing.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says his administration has worked since Floyd's killing to institute changes to the city's police department, including crisis intervention responders and clearer guidance for officer discipline.
We're not shying away from the murder of George Floyd. We're leaning into it, recognizing that things need to change and change with urgency.
Minneapolis recently agreed to a settlement with the State Department of Human Rights that requires changes to the police department's policies and training. They're also being investigated by the U.S. Department of Justice. For NPR News, I'm John Collins, Minneapolis.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 35 points, ending the day at 32,764. This is NPR News. Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes has been sentenced to 18 years in prison after the far-right member was convicted of multiple felonies, including the rare charge of seditious conspiracy in connection with the 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Rhodes told the judge before hearing his punishment that he was a political prisoner. Only weeks ago, Enrique Tarrio, the former head of another far-right group, Proud Boys, was convicted of seditious conspiracy. May not sound like it, but artisans across Paris are involved in a delicate and rare operation to bring the Notre Dame back to its full glory. It was 4 years ago, crowds in Paris and around the world were shocked by dramatic images of an inferno engulfing the roof and spire of the nearly 900-year-old cathedral. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports the best of the best in carpentry are racing ever so carefully to get parts of the roof structure hoisted and assembled by a crane atop the Notre Dame's cathedral in the coming months.
At a specialized carpentry company in the Loire Valley, there are no electric tools. Artisan carpenters cut and shape logs from the nearby forest using hatchets, axes, and chisels. There are no metal screws either. The massive structure will fit together using wooden dowels and pegs. Peter Henriksen, a carpenter from Minnesota, says he's lucky to be living his dream.
I've always been interested in the traditional skills, and more interested in medieval skills.
French carpenter Remy Desmonts is smoothing a beam with an axe. The best way to restore such historic buildings, he says, is to use the same methods and tools that built them.
That's Eleanor Beardsley reporting. It's NPR.